Hello and welcome to Clear the Air with me, Jess.
And me, Kaylee. Let's Clear the Air with Jess and Kaylee will be available on all platforms where you listen to your podcast. The podcast is there to discuss all things personal, mindset, political, female, and a mass of food sharing. So make sure to tune in to us every Tuesday. Thanks, guys.
Hello there.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Oh, I can't carry that on.
I don't know what accent I'm doing right now, but I'm doing something.
What are you doing? You sound like someone from like a sitcom.
Oh, I sound like I'm from Father Ted, maybe.
Yes, you do. Oh, my God. Father Ted, legendary.
Legendary. So I'm going to stop doing that because one time I got so caught up in doing this Irish accent, it just didn't stop for about 2 weeks to the point my mum always knocked me out. So stop now because I'll get stuck again and I can't stop it.
I do it about random words. I know you love this country, but like when we watched it as well, like I'd go for a phase of like curran, and like, or like when I watch People Just Do Nothing, I'd be like Steve's. So, yeah. Anyway, that was a highlight of my life last week, meeting the cast of People Just Do Nothing.
Yes. Kaylee and I went to the National Film Awards, which was super fun. Had a lovely catch up, but Kaylee saw the cast of People Just Do Nothing.
I almost shut myself. I literally, me and Jess are going to get a drink. And how much did I like thing you? I was like, oh my God. And then you were like, where? And I was like, don't look.
And I didn't have my glasses. So I was like, I couldn't see anyone if I wanted to. I could see the silhouettes and good glimpse of their face, but I think it's them lot. And we got the picture. Yay.
Yeah. The amount of times I was like, the one thing we have to achieve tonight is me getting a picture with these guys because I adore them. And do you know what? Both of them liked my Instagram post. When does that happen? Yeah. I was like,
a bonus.
I was like, boom, I love you both. Thank you for noticing me. Actually, I was going to say I felt so bad that evening because I felt like I was so excited to see you because we hadn't seen each other in so long. Like because we were meant to see each other to watch Harriet and Panto, but you had COVID, yes. Remember?
I got the vid.
Yeah, so I hadn't seen you since November. So
but because we do the pod, it feels like we see each other all the time. We actually haven't. We just do this and then that's it. But yeah, we hadn't seen each other in person since that long.
And obviously it's amazing doing this, but it is something different being in person, isn't there?
100%.
They were like chatting and doing the awards and I was just chatting to Jess. Like I kept turning around. I was like,
yeah, we were like whispering to each other and we just couldn't stop because it was just like so long.
I was like narrating. I was like, oh, this is bad. But no, it's an amazing night and like well done to everyone who won and was nominated.
Yeah. And we saw Kate Beckinsale.
We did. She cracked me up. And I'm going to say this because I thought it was hilarious that she won an award. She was like the third award in, came up, was literally like, guys, this is like one of the best awards things I've been to. Like, well done to all the organisers. And then I looked around 2 minutes later and she was gone.
She bounced. Got her award and bounced.
I totally respect her for bouncing. But like, I just think it's hilarious how she went on about how good the event was and then had gone.
Especially when she's probably been to the Oscars or something, you know.
I just thought it was so funny. But yeah, I mean, she looked insane.
She did. Because I think me and Kaylee both did this. I'm not very good at planning outfits or like getting ready for things. I'm really like last minute. And unfortunately, I did a last minute jobby and I was not impressed with my outfit, especially when Kate Beckinsale walked through and looked like an absolute Hollywood movie star. I was like, shit, son.
Yeah.
But hey, we moved.
Yeah, like, you know, we enjoyed ourselves. That's what's important. I remember like three hours before we were meeting, I was sending my friend like pictures of dresses. Like, what should I wear? We're just horrendous. Those people, aren't we? We are those people.
I am definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why. I've always been like that, though. I'm just like,
I'm the same. Tomboyish, that's my excuse. I'm a tomboy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's what it is, isn't it?
But talking of tomboys, we're now going to talk of womanhood.
That wasn't a transition.
Was it not?
No.
I actually thought I nailed that. In my head, I was like,
transition I've ever
nailed this. Tomboys, womanhood.
So now let's talk about womanhood.
Obviously, it's a tract, right?
Okay, carry on that transition. I'm excited to see how you continue that.
You just put me straight on the spot. You knew what you were doing there, Kaylee. I see you.
No, we are really excited to, we thought we'd do an episode because we've been talking about different elements of mindfulness, and me and Jess had been having conversations, and we realized that we'd never kind of grouped all of this and talked about womanhood in general, because there is kind of a sisterhood and a sincerity and something about being a woman that can make you feel very powerful as a person, I do believe, but also can I don't know, come with its challenges, whether that's when you're younger, whether that's in your work arena, whether that's, I don't know, just different things you face. I mean, even in the sense of carrying a child, I don't know, compared to kind of, you know, men. So I think in general, there's just a lot about womanhood to unpack, and we thought it'd be a really fun episode to do.
For sure. And we would, I mean, I think we brought this up at the awards, you know, like even being a woman in your career, you've got a real hefty job as a producer. You've got to take on all of the, it's not just managing the cast, the crew, the locations, it's managing this, the investors, it's managing everything like that. And I think, you know, if you were the shit that you've been spoken to, like by some people, I think if you were as a man in your 40s, that wouldn't have happened. And I think there's some real hard tasks in being a woman, and especially a successful woman. And yeah. I think success and being a woman is, it's wonderful, and everyone's, you know, wanting to champion it and being like, yes, woman in business. But one thing I seem to keep finding, and I'm sure you have, is that the more successful you get, the more people are a bit dicky about it. They want to praise it and be an ally, but when you start threatening anyone because you're doing well, you suddenly get put down. But that's in everything, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
the press even will big someone up until they do too well, then they want to tear you down again.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think a perfect example of this will be, I mean, Jess is very aware of the story, is that I went to an event thing a couple of months ago, and there was a lady there who was quite a bit older than me. And, you know, she was pleasant enough, and like I was speaking to her, and I don't know, I think, you know, she'd brought kind of a media representative with her, and he was really, really lovely, and I can't say a bad word about him. But they'd obviously kind of gone and done a little Google to figure out who I was, and had seen that a couple of weeks before that I'd been put on the Forbes 30 under 30 list, which, for anyone wondering the process of that, it is you basically get nominated, and then you basically have to fill out a form so that they can like reference everything. So you have to fill out a form just to identify if you have achieved the things that you've been nominated for. And then from being selected and then filling out that form, they then pick the 30. So it's quite like, I mean, it's great because you get nominated, which is an amazing thing in itself, but also the fact that they then go and clarify that and all the information, and you don't know whether you're going to be on it or not. And then you get an email to say you are or you aren't. And anyway, I don't know, it must have just really put this person out that I was on that list. And then basically she just came at me like really, I don't know, kind of strong and a bit shouty, and was kind of like going on about this other girl she knew that had been on this list, and just to be aware that people pay for PR and buy these things. And I couldn't quite grasp where she was going with it because I hadn't bought or paid for it. So in my mind, I'm incredibly proud of that achievement, and I've not paid for it, so therefore surely that makes my achievement better. Then I don't know.
Yeah. And I think that says a lot about what we just touched on, which is, you know, you can do a certain amount of well, and everyone wants to big you up and be like, oh yes, yeah, sisterhood, yeah, womanhood, but then, yeah, you get to a certain level, and because they're not achieving, they want to tear you down. And that's, yeah, the part of womanhood I've really struggled with, because we've always been pitted against each other.
Yeah, exactly. And she then went on to find an Instagram of a girl who, a musician who had been put on the list, and went to tell me all the reasons why she wasn't worthy of being on that list. And I thought, how, wow, awful, like a fellow, yeah, woman in the same industry where actually I've seen this person do interviews and talk about how people should empower each other, and is then basically to a stranger bringing up somebody else and telling me why they shouldn't be deserving of an accolade. I just found it quite telling of the people. And this is the thing, is you constantly get told like it's the minority, but when you're put in that situation and somebody is being like that, it's so hard to deal with. And you can, yeah, come out, sure, of that situation and go, look, these are the reasons why, and actually I feel better about myself. But when you're actually there and someone's doing that, well, I tear up, because I get so angry that I tear up, and I just got to walk out. Like, I literally, my dad smokes, and I was like, do you need a fag? Let's go.
Let's go now.
but
it's true. They yeah, should, you know, it's this pitting against women. And I think if, you know, I would hate to, and I've caught myself sometimes, and mm. it's normally around romantic things, not necessarily about work. So if, for instance, I'll give you an example with Jermaine even sometimes. I'm like, you should speak to that girl. And then I'm like, well, why am I being a bitch? That's how they earn their money. It's got absolutely fucking nothing to do with me. Mm. Why am I putting someone down? And when you start to notice you're doing it, you realise why you're doing it. It's an insecurity. Yeah. And I've been, you know, when I was getting divorced, all that kind of stuff, the things I was saying in my head, I was like, that person's this. And I stop myself now. I don't vocalise it because I've managed to stop saying things like that. But the only other time I've been judgmental to another woman, whether how they earn their money, how they're doing their success, however what they want to do, is when I've been feeling insecure about something. So I've got to work on me then. It's nothing to do with them, because it, to be quite frank, it's absolutely none of my business.
Yeah.
What another person does and how their success is going.
Yeah.
It's only when I'm insecure and that I feel a threat. So if all these people, especially this woman that said it to you, if they looked into themselves, they'll realise, hang on, I'm feeling threatened and this is why I'm being a dick.
Yeah.
Because you don't need to be a dick. It's nothing to do with you.
Exactly. And it's like things like OnlyFans, isn't it? When people get funny about OnlyFans, and I'm like, power to women. Like, if you want to, they have the power. That's the whole point of the website. They choose who can subscribe, the amount that they pay, what they do. Actually, compared to things like the porn industry, the modeling industry, power to the women. And I think actually, a lot of the time, the insecurity and the why women can vocalize or be nasty about it, it's because they're jealous of the money they are making through that.
Although I think there's two sides to that OnlyFans thing, and the reason I said I watched the first episode of that Olivia Attwood doing
I saw that.
What was it called?
Let me get it up.
Getting Filthy Rich.
And
I saw it and I was looking at it and I was thinking, there's two sizes, and it can only depend on the woman who's doing it, how this, you know, it's the way you look at it is only going to be up to them. So at some point there was something mentioned, I think it was Olivia's fiance, is like, well, no, it's the man that's in power because he's getting what he wants when he wants it and telling them how to do it, which is true. But on the other hand, they get to say yes or no, the women. And okay, so it's on a perspective of your own. I don't think anyone can say who's empowered apart from the person themselves. And that is such a thing on perspective. I don't think anyone can ever tell anyone who's empowered and who's not. It's solely down to perspective. There's no fact scientific that can prove a perspective. That is
without a doubt. You just exactly. You'd like to think that whatever men are paying for that service feel empowered, that they're able to pay for that service, and any female or any male that's on OnlyFans and is doing whatever on the website feels empowered that they can do that. So you just hope that whatever people's life choices are, they're empowered with whatever they're doing.
And you see, I find it as well difficult for me because my perspective on it, obviously I modeled back in the day and I look back and I was not empowered. I put on a bravado that I was like, oh no, I'm modeling and in these magazines, so I'm empowered. It was such a front because I didn't. I felt like trash. I felt like I had no self-confidence. I had no self-worth. I let men walk all over me. I remember, you know, there's something that just came up in my head the other day and I got upset about it. It was, you know, a situation I've never really spoke about, of someone kind of taking advantage of me. And I think to myself, I let that happen because I was so low self-worth. And it's something I'd kind of squished back in my head like a long, long time ago. And for some reason, I think during the healing process, things do pop up. And I remembered it about 3 nights ago and I was like, oh, well, I kept it to myself. I haven't said anything to anyone. This is, I wasn't going to bring it up ever, but in the topic of this I have. And I thought, wow, that was an assault. And I cannot believe that I just buried that and that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, I didn't feel empowered and I felt I put my worth in, I didn't have any. That's the point. I didn't have any worth, so that I let slide. Whereas now, if something like that happened to me now, I'll go to court. It was bad. And because I had so little self-worth, I thought, okay, if I do this, I'm making money. And I was giving it this bravado of a front saying, yeah, I'm empowered. But actually deep down, I was not, because I look at who I was then and I look at myself now. And I couldn't do it because I don't want some fucking bastard. And to me, it was advantage taking because I didn't have anything else going for me and I needed the money. And I think, wow, okay, I really was in a bad place. But like I said, it's a perspective thing. Yeah. For me, that was bad. But someone else might be absolutely liberated by that and have no in the details in it.
So, and you know, I mean, obviously you can't speak for other people, but when you were a part of the modeling scene, the kind of women around you and the people that you were with, do you feel that they were kind of on some sort of the same level as you, like where they felt that they were doing it for certain reasons, or they did feel empowered? I know you can't speak for them, but just to have an idea of it.
I did get an idea of a lot of daddy issues within that industry. Yeah. I did see a lot of that. And in fact, a few of the girls that I still follow on Instagram, I do know that they have kind of like the same mindset as me back then. So I think it's very easy for people to have that and then fall into that.
Yeah.
But then other times people, you know, I've seen on that program, for instance, people have had lovely life. And yeah, because it does physically empower. I think it has to be done for a place of, you know, that's it, rather than trying to mask something else.
Yeah, I think I'd hope that now, I mean, obviously taking advantage goes on in all industries, unfortunately, especially our ones that are in the spotlight. I'd hope now that there is a difference in mental health or therapy or knowledge of reasons why you go into certain things, that the people, I mean, it's too much of an idealistic view what I'm saying, but I hope that it's increased, that the people doing it have separated and are working on themselves and are empowered in the positions they're in. But I know that's not true, if that makes sense. It's just that, but don't you think that in life sometimes, like sometimes we like to think things, I don't know, it's like I like to think that every woman who chooses to be a stripper just loves like dancing and that's what they love to do. But I'm aware that there will be, you know, people
sometimes
that have,
there's really shit shoddy stories behind
and you know, it's a blanket statement, but a lot of the time, like you said, it can be due to dad issues or I don't know, abuse and harassment younger in their lives that leads to these roots. And it's really sad. And I just hope that, like, not necessarily even these conversations, but just generally the acceptance of what you choose to do with your life and therapy and mental health and talking about issues helps people to figure out themselves and their own lives and maybe why the route and why the paths they've taken in life.
You know? And as I say, as long as everyone is happy in who they are and they're doing everything they do for their personal correct reasons and it's not detrimental to them as a person, then I think it's fine. But I think we've got to be very careful with things that can cause further damage. Like at the time when I was modeling, I had this awful boyfriend. Oh my god, like I think back and I'm like, there's probably still a bit of damage there, even though I couldn't give a shit about him. I don't, as far as I'm concerned, he's not even existing.
Yeah.
But it was abuse. And the mental abuse as well. And I'm like that. And it just spurred me onto that because I was like, oh, well, someone's giving me attention here. So that means I'm worth something. And what you're saying isn't true. And it's not that, you know, people aren't that caring. I think as women, we have to be careful as well, because, you know, there's abuse everywhere. I'm not just saying on both sexes there's abuse, but the statistics of women being killed by their partner is astronomically high. And I follow, we spoke about her before, Lala Let Me Explain on Instagram, and she often posts about the abuse to women and you know, the statistics of domestic violence in relationships and the statistics of, you know, their partners murdering them. And it is, when you see it highlighted, you're like, shit, this is really scary. And you know, it's just frightening.
But I always say this as well, and I have got into debates with people, and I do strongly believe this, and I will take anyone up on it, that like as a female, you are scared of everything. Like I even had a situation today with a friend where she told me about something that happened at work, and the situation she was put in, I would find scary. It's like, as a woman, isn't it? The scariest thing, like say you're walking home from your friends, it's late at night and there's someone behind you. And this is not saying anything about the guy. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the person that stood behind me. But if they are, and I can hear their footsteps, I immediately want to cross the road, run, just because I'm terrified. Like, and I don't know what I'm terrified of, because I've never personally gone through whatever is going through my mind that can happen. But the fact that we all have this instinct within us to have that, whereas it is true, like I remember sitting down with Kieran and I went, what are you genuinely terrified of? And he was like, well, what are you genuinely terrified of? And I was like, being raped. I was like, I can tell you that, like 100%. I'd rather someone shoot me. I have the biggest fear of being sexually abused. Like, I don't know what it is. Well, I think it is just a part of us. I genuinely
and it happens so much. Like,
it happens so much.
It's a genuine fear.
Yeah, exactly. And I was and I literally said to him, I was like, what is it? And this is not, I'm not saying that what he is fearful of isn't good enough or doesn't meet the I'm not trying to say that. I'm just trying to make it evident that we are different. And I remember being like, genuinely, and his was humiliation. Like, he was like, genuinely, his biggest fear is being absolutely mortified and humiliated. And like I said, that doesn't make him any less or anything of men of any less, but that is a difference to be, I would much rather be humiliated than think of being sexually abused one evening walking home. Do you know what I mean?
And also, like, this is something I always think of, like, we see it so much in the papers, so it wouldn't happen to us, but the people that have been attacked, they generally probably thought this would happen to us. And even I was house sitting for 10 days at my friend's. I had my dog, Bruce, my old dog, my best friend has him now. Mm. And Jermaine was at work and we'd always go out for walks together because we go through the woods. And when he was at work, I did it on my own and I wouldn't go through the woods. And there was no one around, but it's always in the back of my mind, what if? And then I always have, if I go for a run, I always have, you know, if you press inside your iPhone 5 times, you have emergency contacts that send you a location and call the police.
Mm-hmm.
I won't run without my phone in my hand so that I can go boom, boom, boom really quickly if needed. And that is the first thing I'll think of as I step out that door is have that so you can press that 5 times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's also, you've had it, we've definitely, every woman I know has had it, where you'll be walking down the street and someone will shout out their window, toot their horn really loud, go, oh, smile, love. And it's not that we're being arseholes and being like, oh, they're no fun. We are genuinely fucking scared, like,
of what you'll do. It makes me feel uncomfortable. Because it's not just a shout. It can turn, it's the same as, right, I don't know if behaviour's changed anymore because I'm not really a club goer, but I remember being in clubs and guys would touch you, like, they would touch your ass, they would grab you, like, they would grab parts of you. And imagine saying that to a man. Imagine saying, so you're going to go clubbing and as you're walking to the toilet, I'm going to grab your dick. How'd you feel about that? Which I know now when I say that, I'm like, oh, how ridiculous I'm saying that. Like, no, because they're probably, like, this is
the problem. They probably like it. And I take that completely back. I don't mean that. I didn't mean that. But, you know, it's the lad, that toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
When they go, oh, yeah, love. I mean, in that respect, is, you know, they give it the big un.
Yeah.
Men tend to have this, not all men at all, because I know millions of decent men, but, you know, this toxic masculinity mindset of some men. That's when I think there's the problem, because, oh, yeah, go on, love. And it's that kind of thing. And that's why they think it's acceptable to do it to us. Yeah. And it's not. I've been groped. I've been, you know, I was walking from, I'd just come off the TV at this point. I had a show out and I was in Newcastle and I was walking from a bar to another bar. And a man literally got me in a headlock and started, as if he was jacking off in my face. And my agent punched him because it was bad. My agent time punched him and got him off me. But he physically... Now I'm like, that's assaulting you.
That is assaulting you.
And all the boys were like, going, yeah, we have some of that, like, pretending to wank in my face. And I had to, like, push him off and just walk off. And I just I had to go over it, because that's what you do, don't it? But actually, no, fuck you. It's so bad.
Yeah, it's so, so bad. And I'm fearful that the picture I'm painting is men against women, and it's not anything to do with that. I think even, like, for any man that's listening to us, it's just raising awareness of how we think and how we process and our fears, and the fact that actually, I don't know if it's changing now. I mean, I'd have to get on a teenager and ask them, because I'm not, like, I just know that when I was still at school and when I was in my early 20s, that is still something that's going on. Like, I did face that in clubs and go through that. And and just in general, like, it baffles me sometimes, attitudes. Like, oh, I feel really bad saying this, actually. I don't think I'll get in trouble. Fuck it. So Kieran literally went out the other week, right? He went out with some people he went to school with, and they were like, oh, you'll probably be the next one, like, to get married or something. He was like, yeah. And I was literally like, you better fucking be, because I want to be engaged. Anyway, then he told a story about how this guy's girlfriend's cousin had basically gone on a stag do, about to get married, just slept with some random woman.
Ew.
And then they got married. But then, okay, so everyone, all the guys are just like, oh, that's skank. And then the guy goes, yeah, but at the end of the day, like, what happens, you know, what happens on a stag stays on a stag.
Toxic masculinity.
And I was like, are you joking? And you're talking about a group of relationship guys. You're not talking about fuck arounds. You're not talking about your guys that have been with, like, 30 girls. And I literally was like, That's a perfect, and don't get me wrong, I think a lot of it is bullshit. I think a lot of it is like you said, that toxic masculinity, like just laughing, like, oh, but actually it's that like, if I was on a train with those boys, I'd have probably been worried. Like if I was opposite those lads and they were having that conversation, they were like, oh, yeah, I'd probably be like,
You get a bit panicky. It is like that. And my friend recently has had this thing where she saw some messages on her partner's gaming thing, and the vile things that were being said about women, bearing in mind he's with her,
it's shocking because but they don't see it as the same. So they see like their girlfriend or their partner, whoever they love, their mum, their sister, as different to the,
but I think they do. I think they do know, and this is the awful thing. People have empathy, and I think it's a big red flag when a man displays no empathy, because I think that shows this toxic masculinity. And I think any person of decent structure would not be talking about people in that way. All it says to me is they're very unhealed, very disturbed person. And I think we have to be careful in this day on the dating aspect of being a woman, because I was talking before I met Jermaine, I was talking to someone about why I'm finding it hard to date, because at this time I'm 30, I'd been married, I'd been divorced, and I was like, well, all the decent guys that are empathetic and aren't giving me a bouquet of red flags are already in relationships. The ones that have never been in long term, is something wrong with them. And I dated one of them and I was like, wow, you are an absolute f-boy. And then the other ones are commitment folks. So it's like, there's a very slim pool here. The only ones you're going to get is how someone hasn't had something work out, you know, and that kind of thing. But I think it's so scary, I think, as a woman dating. And, you know, that's why I love following Lala Let Me Explain on Instagram. And I really want to get her on the pod, so I need to message her again. But it's just these little things, like these late night texts. And we want, I mean, especially at the time I did, I'm so happy I've met Jermaine now, but I was thinking, I just want someone that is not a fuckboy. I just feel like I've dated every single one of them. I could give you a whole book on just red flags that I've ignored and ended up in a pickle with. And there's so many that are there, like the late night text, and oh, what are you up to? Mind your fucking business. How about that? Like, why are you texting me in the middle of the night? There's all these warning signs. And I think the good thing in the relationship I'm in now, we all know Jermaine's past, but his future is like, he's an adult now. He's been through that. And he can look back and be like, wow, actually, I was a dick. And I think the minute that's when people can change, when you say, actually, yeah, I was wrong. I didn't change till I admitted, oh, actually, I'm doing things wrong. But it's difficult, I think, with toxic masculinity to get people to even be aware that what they're doing is wrong. I think they know. And this is where my head doesn't really work. So if anyone listening to this can tell me, and you are a massive fuckboy or involved in toxic masculinity, please explain to me, does empathy not exist?
Or do you just love the groveling? Do you love the
what is it that makes you want to hurt someone?
Yeah, because sometimes I think with like fuck boys, is it like after you don't give a shit, and then afterwards, is it like the winning them back, like the groveling, like I can have her, I can get her back? Like, I don't know what it is. And don't get me wrong, there's women also that do cheat and
of course
fuck girls. I don't know.
But I feel like we get it a lot worse. I think the thing is, it's like, I just don't understand, because I've always been very empathetic. I've always been like that. And everyone I hang out with, the men in my life now, as in like my best friend, Scott, he lives in Australia, anyone that's like my stepdad, there's empathy there.
Yeah.
But then I see the way some of these men treat their women.
Yeah.
And it's
shocking, isn't it?
What is it inside you that, I mean, do you just not care? Because if I cared about someone and I loved them, I would do my utmost to make them feel happy and make sure I never hurt them. And I don't know if that just is because I'm wired differently or they're wired differently, because I think most people are loving, kind people, but what is missing in their lives to make, you know, you're hurting someone, why would you continue to do it? I don't understand it. I for the life of me, I can't get my head around why someone would want to hurt someone else. I don't get it. I get accidents happen, I get mistakes happen, and I get, you know, life isn't all just sunshine and rainbows. But I don't get, when you repeatedly do something to hurt someone, you know it's going to hurt them, why they do it. I don't understand. So, yes, please, messages in the inboxes, because I don't know the answer to that one. I can never understand it.
I think it is, it's behavior, upbringing. I think it's I think it can be changed. I definitely think there's ways, but I think people choose not to. I think people get themselves into a vicious cycle and they continue down that. But unfortunately, what happens with these vicious cycles is they forget the tens of people that they're not ruining, but they're having a massive effect on their lives, and actually will punish and hurt their future relationships, whether it's friendships, relationships, romantic, whatever it is. And actually, like, every day, think of the amount of people, male or female, that are just being hurt, being cheated on, being fucked over. Like, it's just the amount of, like, to think that one in two marriages split up now, and to think, like, the amount of cheating that takes place and lying, and just fucking sort your shit out. Like, I always say,
I think a lot of it's insecurity.
It is, but that's no excuse to some extent. It's like, no excuse. I always just think, I always say to Kieran, look, if you genuinely fell out of love with me, or you want to be with someone else, or you see a woman and you think love to have it, then split up with me. Just be done. Yeah. Just be like, look, my head's been turned, and it's obviously not you. So I'm gonna go do this, but just to let you know, like, it's the lying, it's the wanting, but it's like having both cakes and eating it, isn't it? Like, it's
gaslighting. If someone's doing that, they're gaslighting you. I've always said to Jermaine the same, like, if you did feel the need, you wanted to cheat, or you wanted to go somewhere else, dump me and I'll respect you. Say to me it's not working, and I will sit there and I'll be like, you know what, thanks for telling me, you know, we're not gonna be best friends, but we can end this amicably. You cheat and lie and then be like, oh no, I didn't do that, and you did. It's an abuse.
You know, I've had friends that have been cheated on, and it's you know, when they find evidence or behavior changes, and they're like, it's gaslighting. Like you said, it's like, no, it's not.
You feel like you're going mad, and it's the most unkind thing.
It's mental abuse. My mum always says,
as someone that's been cheated on, it is mental abuse.
And like my mum says, like, with lying, like compulsive lying and that, it is mental abuse. It's literally like it tearing someone apart. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. The one that was, I was telling you about earlier, that was completely abusive. I'm like, do you know how I was so, it just completely threw me. And I was actually listening to, I can't remember what it was now. I'll try and find it. But I was listening to something the other day. I think it was in a book, or it might have been a podcast. And it was about women when they've been cheated on, and then they're like, or something's not right. And they're looking on their phone, and then they get labeled, are they crazy? And it's not, it's an actual psychological disorder now, because what they've done is their whole reality has been changed. So they believe it was a podcast. It was the betrayal one you told me to listen to.
Yeah, betrayal.
The therapist, betrayal. When she spoke to her therapist, it was like, you're not crazy. You've had one life, and it's been, now you're questioning your entire reality. Yeah. You believe one thing, and someone's made you believe one thing. They've lied to you to believe one thing.
Exactly.
The truth of it was something else.
Yeah.
So your reality has changed. So you're trying to find things that confirm your new reality. Yeah. And that's not crazy. That's not someone going crazy. That's not someone being a psycho. That's someone trying to question their entire life because you fucking lied.
Yeah.
And I think, and that's so true. It's like, you know, your reality is now different, and you've got to now restructure your entire life because some dickhead has decided to completely give you a false one. So you're looking for your reality. And I've experienced that. I've been cheated on by nearly every guy I've ever been with. And throw you off. I pick wisely. But it, you know, it completely throws your reality, and then it affects you. So it's not me, oh, I'm a psycho, and people have said that before.
No.
And I'm actually quite well behaved related. I'm not the psycho, but if something isn't right, I'll say it.
Yeah.
And then when you get called like this, you're like, no, you are gaslighting. And now, and that's why in my relationship now, I feel so much more settled in it, because I, for the first time in my life, have called stuff out. If I've said, this is making me feel this way, I don't just go like I used to. Oh my God, you're a dickhead, you're this. And that's how I used to behave. So I go into the defense mode. I don't do that anymore. I've opened up to my vulnerability. And I think that's an empowering thing as a woman. But we try and hide it.
Yeah.
But I'll show my vulnerability. I'll be like, this has made me feel like this. I need to speak to you about it. And I always find as well, when someone can sit down and have a conversation with you, things are normally okay.
Yeah.
It's when someone goes into defense mode, there's a reason for it.
Yeah, without a doubt.
That, my friend, is a red flag.
And I think through social media, people have like normalized red flags, or like made it kind of like fun, or made it like, he eats ketchup with sugar nuggets, what a red flag. That's not, but you know what I mean? And actually, like red flags are fucking like, they can shit up your life. Like, you know, somebody who has got what we'd call red flags, it's not a fun and game sort of situation.
No,
like the impact it can have on your life. So did you listen to the whole of the betrayal podcast?
Yeah.
So good, wasn't it?
You just listen to the guy. So if you haven't listened to it, it's basically this woman who was with this, she was married to this guy, and he's in prison for like having a relationship with his, he was a teacher, minor. And he had a relationship with one of his children, many other women, some of her friends, everything. So her whole life was thrown into disarray. And this brings me to something that is like, I see this thing on Instagram before, and it said, you know, pick your partner wisely, because that will be the person you have kids with, the way you raise them, the way your life goes, the way your career goes, can all depend sometimes on your partner. Because I know when I was in that violent, awful relationship that I was in years ago, it was way before I was married, it was, you know, that made me go 10 times worse into the, you know, things I didn't want to be doing, like the modeling and the reality TV, because I needed some sort of validation. It completely threw me. So actually, these red flags can change the course of your entire life, and we have to learn and also empower each other as women to be strong enough to get rid of them. Because it can, especially when you've had a difficult childhood like I did, and we all understand that can make you have attachment issues, so you end up with these people and you can't let go because you're afraid of, you know, being abandoned.
Yeah,
but that's why we need to work with each other and not against each other, because it really does change the whole course of your life.
Yeah. I feel like in this episode, really, it's kind of been like womanhood part one, talking about relationships, like kind of toxic masculinity. And I'd definitely like to do a part two to continue this conversation in regards to womanhood, but on a different level, you know, about empowering and friendships.
Career
and,
as well. Yeah.
And how women can help women. I think that we should talk more about that, because I think there are ways. I think that, and I've only really learned this in the last couple of years, like now, when, you know, I try my best, whether I think a friend looks amazing, whether they get a job that they want, whether they're working really hard, whether they're stressed, to always be there for them. And I think I actually saw a really great interview with Kaylee Cuoco recently, who said that, like, sometimes we value our romantic relationships so much that we forget that women do need women, and strong friendships and womanhood and being together actually is so powerful. And I do feel stronger when I have good friends around me and things like that. So I think we should continue this conversation.
I think so too.
I love that. We start ending with the accent. And everyone should go listen to Betrayal. It's literally like a 6-episode podcast, isn't it? It's so, so good. I'd highly recommend it. Highly recommend.
Definitely. Love to understand a bit more of what we were saying about just then.
Yeah. But thank you. So this has been a powerful episode.
It has got a lot of stuff out there. Yeah. So yeah, we hope you enjoyed it, but we will come back to it for sure.
Yeah. And I feel like this has been more of a personal one, in the way of less about talking about mindset and how to walk through life, and actually more just about feelings and how we feel as women, and hoping that some of you listening kind of feel similar and getting it out loud, because sometimes it's just as empowering to discuss these things and how we feel, whether they're right or wrong or whatever people want to label it.
Agreed. Well, thank you very much for tuning in again, guys, and next week we'll see you. Maybe we'll continue this one then, or maybe not. We'll decide that next week. We'll continue it soon though. We'll definitely do a part two.
Lovely. And I love the fact that we were about to do our awkward finish and Jess was like, absolutely not, I'm jumping straight in.
Not this week, my friend, not this week.
I love it. Thank you guys so much, and we'll see you next week.
Bye. Thanks to all our listeners, and we will see you next week.
We'd like to say a special thank you to Audio Boom for distributing the series, and Popple for our jingle, and Raspberry for the